Welcome back to the Ink Sink. I am Annie.
I'm Kaylee.
This is the publishing podcast for the rest of us, where we cover books and news and writing and reading, and we are so excited to bring you today our favorite news.
That's right.
Kaylee, just one of the stories that I've ever sent you.
It is certainly a story that I've read.
The most opinions that I've ever seen.
Thoughts.
There are thoughts in here. We're going to start this off. I want to be clear. We're about to start off with some very petty heckling.
A little bit.
But we're going to go into a I'm real sure
he's crying
story.
All the way to the bank. Yeah. Like.
So Kaylee, let's pull this back. Kaylee, who is Fabio?
Okay. Oh, Annie, I'm so glad you asked because this question has definitely come up many, many times. So Fabio, of course, being the model / inspiration for many, many romance novel covers.
In a literal sense, for those who are younger, he was the guy on, the guy on the cover.
So many.
To the point where it became a meme.
Oh yeah, 100%.
Before the internet. You know how difficult it was to have memes before the internet?
I mean, it happened, as you can see, but like it was very rare. Mm-hmm. So this guy, not only did he become a fad, he also wrote his own absurd like romance novels with
you read those?
No.
I have not either.
No. Like my I guess maybe I had finally, like, when I was a kid, romance novels were the only things that were my mom had in the house until about fifth grade when I put my foot down. And I was like, we need to go to the library or the bookstore. I need some Goosebumps. I need something else, literally. And I would leave with like a stack of books every time because I needed something besides. It's the same story.
Yeah.
Anyway, so she never, I guess, got into those. Oh, good. Thankfully. She actually was a big fan of the Outlander series when I was a kid.
Good.
So. But yeah. No, I did not. And I'm okay with that, especially now, because what on earth? And so I just want to say also, this man is also the man who got hit in the face on the inaugural roller coaster ride after Six Flags opened up. Again,
by a bird.
I feel bad for the bird. I'm sure it didn't do well by that, but also
you can Google that. We'll put it into the notes.
It stayed in the news cycle so much longer than it probably should have because of his presence.
Hilarious.
Anyway,
so Fabio went on to Fox and Friends, and he was on a segment talking about just trends in the romance genre. And I think that this is one of those things that is accurate and actually a good thing. There has been a trend in the romance genre of more kind and empathetic male heroes. And Fabio says, I'm going to quote from this article from The Messenger. He said, the idea that male characters would show their sensitive sides is, quote, hogwash. He told the New York Post, instead of considering the cultural and social and societal changes that have made it easier to portray men in a different light, he whittles it down to a trend. The culprits, according to Fabio, the political far left and the Biden administration.
Just to be clear, this is not a recent thing, but also Joe Biden. Thanks, Biden.
It's all Biden's fault.
Is this a spiritual successor to Thanks Obama? Like,
just, oh, definitely.
Like his... Does Biden have powers, you guys? Did Biden go back in time and somehow whisper in someone's... The heck? Oh my god, it's so silly. Joe Biden. What?
Yeah. Dude, so Fabio went on Fox and Friends and was like, Joe Biden is the reason that we have cinnamon roll
heroes
protagonists
in our romance novels
just
now.
What?
Which is baffling.
I laughed so hard when I saw that.
I know. I also, when you sent me this article, I was like, I just like startled myself into laughter because of just the sheer unexpected nature of who was the culprit, the person under the mask.
It's right. It's been Biden. It's
this whole time. I would have gotten away with it
if it weren't for this meddling Fabio. So I do want to actually, just because I don't like being negative, we are going to talk probably on a future episode about romance trends in general. But I think it is absolutely true that in the past, 5 to 10 years, the like cinnamon roll hero has really, really come to the fore. I think that in Fabio's time, we were looking at romance books that were bodice rippers in the like derogatory sense. Like they were, we're talking about forced romance. We don't need to be censoring anything else, but basically like the heroes, the romance heroes of Fabio's books were not cinnamon rolls. And for some reason, I think that he's saying that there's a political correctness that goes along with these men that people like. And I don't know if that's the case. Like, I think it's way healthier to have someone to be with a man that you like than to be with a man who is going to force you into anything. Maybe I'm the crazy one.
Baffling. Annie, Biden's gotten to you.
Yes! Oh,
Joe
no!
Biden got to you in the far left.
Oh, God, it is so weird.
That was what? Joe Biden. I'm sorry. Like, it's what? Joe Biden. What a choice. What a choice.
But for those who are interested in this topic, I am adding it to the list of episodes for me to do more research on, because I do think that it is a fascinating look at society in general, looking at the trends of our romance.
And,
for sure.
And to be fair, like, I recently recommended a novel that was an action romance to you that I enjoyed thoroughly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you enjoyed thoroughly.
Absolutely. So 100%.
It's not like we don't read romance novels. It's just that we pick the ones we like. Go figure.
Wacky. It's wacky, isn't it? All right, moving on to news. We got to talk about news.
I like news about news about news about news, Annie.
Hell yeah. So every year, Reuters, which is a news company, publishes what it calls the Digital News Report, and it looks at statistics for news across the world, across age groups, across formats. And there were some interesting insights this year. This comes to us from What's New in Publishing. Kaylee, did you find anything really interesting that you liked?
I actually did, yes. So one of the things that they discussed through their questions was essentially what this was like, you know, how do you feel about like algorithms that will provide you news that's specific to you? So this is over-personalization is actually the
that's
term
what
they
call
used.
It, yeah.
And people were like, no, it's concerning. Like, it would actually concern me because I would be worried that I would miss stuff that I don't normally read about, but there are big incidents, or stuff that is contrasting views that would, you know, because we need that. Like, we need that mental, like, discourse to make sure that we're not, again, getting stuck in an echo chamber. I thought, so everything in here was interesting, but, like, that was, nothing else was especially, like, surprising to me. It did seem like things are kind of holding steady with conclusions that are, we talked about the Reuters report last year,
mm-hmm.
and it feels pretty much like a consistent, like, it's just things are getting more and more, like, easy to define on these, like, areas that it's talking about. But that was the thing that kind of was most interesting to me, because it was something that I hadn't seen in, like, the prior, like, article.
I agree. I thought that was really interesting as well, that people said they worry about over-personalization because they're missing out on important things and things that they might disagree with.
Which I also really liked that was a thing,
mm-hmm.
because that's something that I am concerned about, like, in my life with my family.
Mm-hmm.
And I do try to be aware and open to, and, like, just, I go directly to news places and I just start browsing headlines, mm-hmm. because I am concerned about, like, the targeted algorithm on just my feed. So, yeah, I mean, I'll do that sometimes. I'll just start browsing, or I'll go on through, like, a browser I don't normally use, and I'll just not be logged into my, mm-hmm. like, Google account on that browser.
You might be the only person who uses incognito to just scroll through news websites.
It's me. I'm the weird. And that's fair. That's really funny. But fair. But yeah, anyway, that's, like, so that's a thing. Like, I get it. I totally, and that's how I've combated it. But, like, I know that, like, some of my conservative family members don't do that, like, specifically.
Yeah. So you have to be able to talk to them at least a little bit and know what they're reading.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was really interesting, and this is, like, really meta, but the article describes it as us being beyond the tipping point for direct access. So for a very long time, customers were pretty okay with the idea of seeing a link on Facebook or something and then clicking that link and then going to that site and seeing what they were trying to see. But we've passed the tipping point, according to this article, or according to the Digital News Report, and people just don't want to click off of whatever they're doing. They want the full article, or at least the full
summary.
Amount of information.
The abstract of
the
article.
Yeah, yeah. And then they want to know that you have a a different viewpoint than they would be getting from just the summary. So like that you have more information, or that like you have an infographic or something, or some added benefit for them to go ahead and, tell read you the story.
Why I have, like, why I know this is a problem, because a lot of people are doing it. They're not browsing on desktop.
Mm-hmm.
They're browsing on like their phone through an app, or even in the browser on your phone that doesn't have the same functionality that your desktop browser would. So like, for example, if I were to go to a linked article on Tumblr, the application, it opens up in the Tumblr app. Like it expands. If I go back from that article, it's 50-50 on whether it's going to keep my place in my feed that I'm scrolling through, or it's going to start from the top again. And if you have a lot of followers or content that you're trying to get through in your doom scroll, you don't want to go back through the 2 hours of stuff that you've just gone through. I mean, that's me. Maybe it's just me. Feel free to tell us if I'm way off base and that's not why you hate this trend or whatever.
No, it's so true, especially because a lot of the native browsers in the apps, like the Instagram browser is so shitty.
They're just bad.
It's so bad. And it'll like crash. Like I'll get to the website, I'll scroll halfway through, and then it's crashed. It's gone. And it's like,
so there has to be a better way. Yeah, keep it in the app. I get that. But like, and then that's...
Especially with TikTok, I think, not linking out as much. I think it's even more becoming even more of a thing, because TikTok doesn't link out pretty much at all. And it just lets you, I mean, you just either watch what you're going to watch or you don't, and you just keep scrolling. So I think that because TikTok also rewards having all of the content that you want to have in the actual video, and then them being like, if you want to know more, check the link in my bio. I've got a link tree or something like that.
Yeah. I will say that I am a little concerned about how this plays out, just mm-hmm. because I do think it will put people in a position where they don't necessarily learn to do their own evaluations.
Yeah.
We'll see.
We'll see. I mean, I think that maybe going back to the over-personalization reticence.
I think that they realize
that they are in fact getting served this like very specific type of algorithmic content, and that they know that that's the case, and that they can then go look at other things.
Yeah, fingers crossed.
Yeah. Moving on to AI. We should just lump all these AI stories together.
Have a new AI episode about just how quickly it progresses.
Yeah. We should just have like a new podcast, actually, just
specific to AI.
We have a couple things.
What nonsense are the robots doing today?
Oh my god, we should. Okay, so I have actually been trying to find good things that AI has been used for. I know that this is my bias, but I don't think that AI is going to be nearly as apocalyptic as many people think it is. And so I have been looking for things to support that view, laying it all out there. Obviously, these are the stories that I sent to Kaylee. I do the roundups for our news, so Kaylee gets to read what I get to read. And now Kaylee believes what I believe.
Not always. I send you some
it's
things.
It's true.
I do.
So, really recently, there is, I think, another effort among other people to figure out ways that AI could be used in a positive way. This one comes to us from the New York Times. It's very much a thought experiment. But it's talking about how a problem that it sees in the publishing market, which is that there is a new book bias, and also that marketing can be very discriminatory. Now, we've seen this all the time.
Like
a book with a protagonist who is a Black woman is going to get less marketing support, and therefore less visibility, and therefore less discoverability, and therefore less readers than one with a white protagonist. That's just a fact. Book written by a woman, similar situations, even though we women write a lot of books. And I think that it's probably a good thing to have an objective third party, which AI very much is in this case, an objective third party looking at your backlist, the books that you own as a publisher, and saying, hey, like this one has all of the things that are trending right now. It just happened to have been published a couple years ago and happens to have had a Black protagonist, so you didn't look at it. So maybe you should give it another look. And I think that that's a really valid and worthy way to use AI. I don't know that a lot of publishers are actually using it in this way, but the New York Times presents it as a use case for AI that is not entirely negative. And I thought that that was helpful.
Yeah. So there's an actual company that is specifically building a business model on this to work with publishers to help their backlists sort of open up back.
This was a little bit of a thinly veiled PR thing from the New York Times. But also, I think that this is conceptually, the principles
sound.
Make sense.
It's sound. Yeah. And I mean, it does what AI does. It takes it and does it for good rather than evil.
Yeah.
Which we also can discuss and will discuss shortly.
Eventually.
it's there are things that AI can do. Analyzing large data sets is one of them. Going through as long as you are controlling what it's looking for and what it's looking at, and you're making sure that it's publicly available. So speaking of AI being used for evil.
Right, exactly.
So I also appreciate your tags for these articles. So the tag for the marketing company that's using AI to help promote older books was unexpected uses for AI. And then the tag for this article in Annie's notes is totally expected uses for AI. So author Jane Friedman was alerted to the fact that some poor quality material had been put out under her name as her specifically, not as somebody that had the same name, on Amazon's bookselling platform by one of her fans. And she followed up with it and attempted.
She was alerted by one of her fans and they were not written by her fans.
I'm sorry.
Hopefully.
Right. Hopefully. Sorry. She was alerted by one of her fans that infringing material existed under her pen name. And so she reached out to Amazon to try to resolve this because obviously it's an impact directly. Like she's trying to take advantage of her and her reputation and her fans with poor quality content that would hurt her brand and also negatively impact people that were attempting to learn. So it apparently, from her statements, she had very little traction with Amazon because she hadn't copywritten her name. She didn't copyright her name. Until she spoke out on social media, at which point, we did it. We took it down. So, okay. All right. So don't do that, guys. Really. Seriously. Speaking of somebody that's clearly analyzed a lot of content from somebody and then, it's so sad. Anyway, that's theft. I mean, it's brand infringement. I mean, just it is what it is. So don't do that. It's also it was also a very poorly done attempt as well, if the content was so bad. I mean, and again, speaking of this, we've already talked about how AI can be used to generate gibberish that sounds about right until you think about it. So
I actually follow Jane Friedman. She has a very popular blog. If you are a writer starting out, you've probably been recommended her blogs more than once. She's really fantastic. I had actually heard about this because when she had put it on her blog, I think the title was something really snarky, like, I would rather watch my books get pirated than have this happen. And it was that people were publishing, or someone was publishing this, like, shitty AI books under her name, and she was so angry. And because she has this large platform, and because she is able to reach this many people and get, you know, interviews in The Guardian, Amazon did eventually take them down. And that makes me feel like, for a lot of other people, maybe that avenue was not available. And there really needs to be some more checks on this. I know that the way that Kindle Direct Publishing, which is Kindle's or Amazon's like publishing arm, works is that in order to make money off of your book, you do have to provide some kind of identifying information. And I think that there must be some way to link the identifying information with the author name on the metadata, because otherwise there's no way to stop this. Even without AI, it would just be this over and over again. So my hope is that Amazon will get its crap together. There was another story, I didn't put this in the notes because it came out I think a couple days ago, of AI generated fungi foraging guidebooks, and there was more than one. And the foraging community, I don't know if your TikTok algorithm gives you foraging stuff, but mine does. So I had heard about this from the foraging community first, and then it made its way onto the actual news sites. And I was like, are you serious? Just because they're like, oh, well, this is a trending topic on TikTok, so we'll make these fake books about it, NBD. And then they did, and they were selling, and it's like, this is going to get somebody killed, because fungi is extremely dangerous if you don't know what you're doing. And I think that we're going to probably see more of this before Amazon is able to get its crap together, unfortunately.
Yeah, usually somebody has to die before.
Oh, horrible.
I hate to say it, but I mean, it's kind of the case.
Moving on to our favorite news section, celebrating marginalized people in publishing.
Yeah.
Kaylee, let's talk about awards. We don't usually talk about awards just because they're kind of veiled marketing, but this one had my favorite graphic novels in it, so we're going to talk about it. And I'm the one who got this link. You get to pick these articles. I got to pick the link, so.
Yeah, of course.
So, Comic-Con happened. It probably wasn't all up in your news feeds like it normally is, because most actors and writers were not there for Hollywood. But the comic book literati was there, and they had their annual Eisner Awards, which is their big award show. And one of the major awardees was Marjorie Liu and Sana Takeda, who write Monstrous, which is my favorite graphic novel. It is so good. And also some fantastic stuff. Some of our girls coming up from Webtoon, but it's not Webtoon. Wattpad. Whew.
We got there. I wasn't sure where Wattpad, you were going. So
Lore Olympus won for best webcomic, which is fantastic. For those who have not been reading Lore Olympus, the fourth book just came out. It is so pretty. I haven't started it yet, but I got it from the library. I finally got off hold. I was really excited.
Art is the, I mean, just like, especially in so many indie things, again, passion projects, you get to really see like a person's like true passion shine through. And it's just, it's always just gorgeous. I love seeing the different art styles that people that have just invested themselves into.
Yeah. Did you find any cool stuff in here that you liked?
I actually thought that, so one of the title pieces was really cool. That looked like really interesting. So the Night Eaters, and I'm not into horror, but like I looked into that and it looked interesting. Like it looked like a generational trauma sort of thing too.
Ooh,
so
juicy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that was actually the best graphic album went to the Night Eaters book one. She eats the night. So that was by Marjorie Liu and Sana Takeda. It's a horror fantasy Asian American story.
Love Marjorie Liu and Sana Takeda. They're great. Oh, Sana Takeda's art is just so good. It's just so good. Anyway.
So anyway, like, we'll link to this, and there's a bunch of stuff if you need, like, recommendations to read. Here you go. Yeah, if you want
recommendations for graphic novels or graphic novel adjacent things, there is a short story by Kevin Conroy, the late voice of Batman from the Batman animated series and the video games, I believe.
Mm-hmm. And many other cartoons.
Yes, and there's a tribute to Kevin Conroy in here as well that you can read. Kevin Conroy, my favorite Batman. Kaylee, do you have a Kaylee coda for us today?
So there's things to be optimistic about. Like, obviously, you know, we've talked about like how, you know, many jobs have been cut and the way things are looking in the world. But, you know, speaking of like, there's still hope, you know, book bans are still a thing, but there's hope in the price fixing is now going through reluctantly. So they've got a pretty airtight argument enough that even the judge that is just like apparently like number one publisher fan, but can't stop them from going forward. We've got, you know, proof that, you know, we're not totally lacking awareness as far as our overpersonalization journey goes. So I do think that there are reasons to be optimistic, or at least not totally shut down. So I think that's pretty important.
Thanks for listening to The Ink Sink. You can find us on all your favorite apps, all your favorite feeds, and you can find any ways that you would like to support us all on our link tree, which is anywhere you found this podcast. And you can go buy us a coffee on Ko-fi if you would like. You can find us on all your major podcast apps, all your major social media apps, except for X, because I am not on X anymore.
Good.
It's gone. It's over. I'm done. I've broken up with X. I am still on Goodreads, though, so if you want to come troll me over there, you can do that, too. Thank you for listening.